War Master Podcast, episode 14 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm very good, sir. Today's episode is about Lizardman.
Titled, Slow to Anger, Quick to Kill.
Which is a play on a parable or something.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like slow to anger, quick to forgive or something.
Oh, okay. Fair
it's
enough.
Like religious, Catholic. But yeah, this is quick to kill. Very slow to anger.
So we
slow
are
slow to move also.
We are recording on the 23rd of March, Wednesday morning. Interestingly, I've finished a night shift, so I haven't been to bed yet.
That's
so
it.
But we needs must when our public demands.
That's it, that's how dedicated he is. And he was on Code Black as well. Is that top secret? You know to say?
Yeah, of course you can. Yeah. Basically, the hospital has different colour codes for how busy it is. Black means that it's in its worst status, which means that there is no space in the hospital, which means A&E basically had patients all night but nowhere to put them because the hospital, there was no room at the inn.
Corridors were full, toilets were full.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting bad, basically. There's no let-up ever now, it seems, in these A&E shifts, which is... Well, something's got to give.
You. Okay, so we played a game today, as always.
Yeah.
It was again Lizardmen against Dogs of War.
I think it was one of our best games.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, definitely.
But we'll talk about that a little later on. Mm-hmm. As normal, we'll start off asking what Paul's been doing this week.
How busy
his week's been.
Okay, so obviously this is recording quite recently to the last episode. But I have played in a War Machine event, which was held at our club, just a local club thing. Yeah, everybody knew everybody else, and there was only like 10 players.
Did you win Best Merc?
Well, I played Sigma.
Oh, did you win this Sigma?
Of course I did. Yeah, like, of course I did.
Well, there are 11 factions, and there were only 10 players.
So you had a good chance of being best new faction. We just played 3 rounds, because that was all that it warranted to be. And actually, because of the hard times our club has, all it could be, realistically. It was good. I won 2 and lost 1. So I ended up placing 4th. I could have placed 2nd, but strength of schedule put me between 2 and 5th, basically.
So what did you play? What did they play?
I was using these two... Now, the thing is, this is where like the longevity of War Machine is coming into me, because I own like the faction of Signar. So that aside from, you know, like one caster who won't be named, you know, like... Because they'll just brag on me, that's why. It's like,
you're not playing P. Haley.
No. Don't worry about it. Yeah, Constance Blaze is not a Signar caster, as much as you say.
You've owned it. You've owned her.
Yes.
I've got yours. And Eric's. He's bought it again and painted it again. So I could have given you your old one back.
Oh, fair enough.
Painted.
Basically, so I was using a Nemo 2 list, a tier list, which you called the Weatherman, which gets you a lot of the scientists, which is quite... was good fun to use. And I also tried Haley 3 in a tier 1 list, which allows you to project with her future and past projections on the table, which again it's a good tier benefit, because otherwise she spends a turn creating them. But it's not so much creating them, because what do you do with the focus anyway, but it's the setup. You can be spread out as far as your 8 inches of command allows, and that allows the main spell that she has, Temporal Flux, to take my biggest effect. So that is good. I lost to Mark Pocock in the first round. I mean, he's really impressive for a guy who's only been playing 6 months.
He's still like, they have like a new player of the year.
Yeah.
If he had a new player of the year award, it would be Mark.
Yeah.
Within a year, he's already top tabling.
Yeah, exactly. And that was good. So it did kind of show what, I think, the good and the bad, well, some, a thing of War Machine is that I was taking not the best Signar lists you could have. Like, Nemo 2 is probably mid-range, mid-level power caster. I think he's got game. But anyway, Mark put down a no-nonsense Machinations of Shadow list. You know, and it's like, and that just showed the difference there, really. It's like when I played in War Machine, when we did at the Welsh, and I played using ADR casters, which, so not the best casters, which you try
to make.
And it was good. I mean, I was winning, I'd won 2/3, but ultimately you have to play the best players. And again, it was exactly a Machinations of Shadow list.
But then we talked about last week metagames.
Yeah.
You know that's part of the metagame.
Yeah.
So you have to bring something to deal with it. And if you don't have something to deal with it, then that's kind of on you.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's... So this event was, like, as least competitive as a competitive event really gets.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just basically a club day. And I wanted to take some different stuff. And yeah, it was good. I mean, so, but I know that eventually you'd have to play the best things and then you could find warranty. I mean, it was a good game against Mark, but it felt like his list was stronger.
He was just waiting to kill you, basically. Yeah. I'm sure he assassinated
you. It was like...
They don't win on scenario.
I made it hard, but in terms of peace trading, it was like all favourable to him because he could hit me harder from further away.
Yeah, no, by the way.
Like, yeah, it's not good. So then I played Sherwin, Sherwin's Cogs, and I got a win against Sherwin's Cogs. Which is, so second round,
easy
I'm like,
now.
Second round,
easy
Sherwin had won, and I was like, but due to the small amount of players, some had to play pair down, and I got Sherwin's conversions, and I was like, I never...
Did he take Lucan?
No, he did, to his fair, to his, yeah, he did not.
And he had it in his bag?
Yes.
And he chose to use the other list again?
He chose, he chose...
Knowing the Lucan list is basically an auto win.
No, he chose the Swiss Army guy, the guy who fixes everything. I mean, he made a mistake and I spotted a chance for an assassination and went for it and got it. So, but I'll take any win over Sherwin. That counts. I mean, okay, it would have been even sweeter if he'd lost Lucan because he is pretty, I find him pretty much unbeatable.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have been, but been that would impossible, have, amazing.
Would have been good, yeah. Like, but yeah, and then I played, last round I played, Robbie from Harlow with his very interesting K-Doll. It's Mr. Shoulder Pads, Vlad. Which was just, I don't think I've played against Vlad one, and it was just interesting to play. Yeah, it was. I finished him off by taking everything off the table.
Yeah,
it was good. Basically, it was a good event.
Well, that's happy. That was it. That's your whole week.
Well, it's not been a whole week since
it's been 6 days.
I've got to work.
Right, so I played Magic on Monday as normal. What did we do on Monday? Oh, I played EDH, Commander, Shenanigans. Mm-hmm. That again, going back to last week, you need a social contract when you play that game.
Because
if somebody brings something that's ridiculous and everybody else is playing for fun, it becomes a bit
negative.
Listening
back to our last episode, I found it really interesting you talking about Magic, metagaming. Like, I found that whole section really interesting just because of the way that you would talk about, oh, they use this kind of deck and that's ruled out that kind of deck. And it's like, just because I know what Magic is, but, that's the scene, is it? Like, all that
it's always,
like,
it's always in flux.
It's very interesting.
Always in flux. Which always keeps you spending.
Yeah, well, clever. Someone designed it that way.
Richard Clark, he's a clever guy. So, I played D&D again on Saturday. I'm in a bit of a glut of D&D. I'm playing every Saturday for the next month or something.
And the same heroes, the same quests?
None of this was different. I was playing with Adam.
Oh, right, okay. Oh, so a different...
Adam was some evil dwarf cleric.
Oh, so what, a different group? Or was it Jeff's?
Jeff's, but he's got like three groups on him or something.
Yeah. So, D&D crazy.
It was interesting enough. And then we tried to record a podcast with Janas. On Sunday, eventually, we tried to do it. But Skype is just a piece of crap. I can't imagine ever being happy having to run a podcast through Skype.
No, I mean it. Yeah, it just seems.
It's just so variable. And then when you Paul talks about a podcast he listens to, and they have Skype problems. They've been running for years.
Yeah, exactly. Like Chain Attack, one of the most recent episodes. Like they had some really bad Skype. Even Privacy Press Primecast had some bad Skype chats, and it's like they're meant to be the official one of War
They've
Machine.
Got like almost unlimited funds.
Well, a lot more than us.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so you're right. It's wherever possible, face to face is.
I don't even think we're going to go down that route anymore. I think one of the key benefits.
But there was a fallout of it was that we chatted quite a bit with Janus and we arranged a date to record that face to face. Yeah.
So going forward, I don't think we're ever going to bother with Skype. So that may mean that we never do things like interviewing people remotely.
Unless we can get them face to face.
Yeah, unless we can get them face to face in a room. Because this is so nice, just being able to sit and chat over a cup of tea with the voice recorder going.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're going to do. So, but unfortunately, that means that the episode we were trying to bank on Sunday to release next week when Paul's away on his jollies.
So should we mention that now?
Yeah, feel free.
Basically, on Saturday, I go to New York on a long planned time off holiday with my wife.
Long-suffering wife, Hannah.
Thanks. When I come back, I don't go back into work. I'm going out on deployment with the army straight away on the regimental shooting team. So I'm going to be away from my house for over 2 weeks. best part of 3. So that is naturally going to enforce, I'm afraid, a break listeners from us.
And it's good for me because it's Easter, so my kids are off for 2 weeks, so my time gets hammered anyway. Exactly. So it's all false, I say. And we don't know. We were planning on an episode that we could release next week, but that's not happening.
Yeah. So you just have to grin and bear it.
Yeah. If I get, in fact, I'm playing Jim Beach.
That'll be worth talking about.
Next Wednesday, a week today. So if I get that chance to chat to Jim, who's the guy, the mastermind behind the Redone rule book.
You could maybe do a quick half-hour chat in the bar upstairs.
I mean, he's a fantastic guy, Jim. Yeah. So, but I'm not sure how keen he is to put himself out there.
I don't know.
So we'll see. Yeah. I've offered it before and he hasn't taken me up, but we will see. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the state of play. Today's match was Lizardmen versus Dogs of War, as we said. So do you want to go through the list?
So
you do yours first. It was pretty similar to last time.
I only made one change from the Dogs of War list. So I'm using a hero with a griffin, and he has a Sword of Fate because I had a spare 5 points.
I enforced that.
Barry would make me use it. I had to take a paymaster, a Dogs of War unique hero, with a pay wagon to give him a one turn plus one command. And two wizards, one with a ring of magic. And the reason I changed it is I just wanted to, because I was on 20 units, and that's breakpoint 10. Well, it can be 19 units and still breakpoint 10.
Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to change it. So I took 4 pikemen, 4 crossbows, 1 ogres, 1 dwarves, 1 marauders, because I basically, the greatsword models that I have, I wanted them to be a bit more epic than halberdiers stats. So they get, the marauders.
Yeah.
2 light cavalry, 2 knights, 2 galloper guns, 1 tusker, 1 birdman, and the characters I mentioned earlier. So, quite happy with that as a list. I suppose it's breakpoint...
Well, you brought in the Ring of Magic. You didn't mention that.
Yeah, I did. Well...
Did you?
Yeah, I did mention it. I said the characters first.
Okay. The Ring of Magic's good. I like that.
Yeah.
Especially with movement spells.
Yeah, exactly. If you've got a movement spell in your bag, that's quite a good magic item to have. It could be a bigger army, definitely, because it does have access to cheap units, like in its vanilla, humans, but isn't at the moment. And we'll wait and see. Plus, when all those things on the table painted would look a very nice, diverse army, which is what Dogs of War meant to be, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did have a bit of everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the big block of pikemen looked intimidating.
Yeah, they're definitely a strong thing. Like, I set them up today to mirror off against Barry's Saurus Cav, and I was like, he charges me in, I'll lose the pikemen, but I should do a lot of damage. I should make these cavalry not, they should hurt them.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So I chose to redeploy them. As you would. Right, so I used my stock Lizardman tournament list. So 4 Saurus, 8 Skinks, 1 Croxigore, 4 Cauldrons, 2 Pterodons, a Slan, 3 Skink Heroes, 2 Skink Shaman, and the Ring of Magic. So that's 19 units, 10 break, and scouting 6.
I think you said the Skinks and the Saurus the wrong way around.
Did I?
Yeah.
4 Saurus. Oh no, 4 Skinks, 8 Saurus.
Yeah.
You would never want 8 Skinks.
Don't confuse the listeners.
Now, what I did do today, what I haven't done in a while, was I was using those Skinks as ablative wounds.
Yeah.
And that ate into my break massively.
Yeah, it wasn't. I don't know if that was a good thing to do.
I just didn't see a lot of shooting on your side.
No.
I certainly wouldn't do it against elves or dwarves or something. No, they get in too quickly.
Yeah.
So, okay. So what happened in the game, Paul?
Okay. So this one was really good. It ended. Barry won. So back to the status
back
quo.
To normal.
Ended 10-8. Look, that score there tells a lot. 10-8 is tight. Because Barry was 2 units off breaking.
I did think towards the end, well, maybe. Now, there was a chance for you to get those 2, but
yes.
It was very, very risky.
Yeah, but it was an attempt made. So if you're rolling dice to try and win, like a potential to win, that's a good game, isn't it? And basically...
So what were the highlights? You give the highlight, I'll give the highlight.
I thought your early use of your pterodons was quite good, and the more that we play, basically Barry went for my artillery... that I was screening with crossbowmen and used magic to enforce a charge. And the more we play with artillery and flyers around, the harder it is to protect said artillery to make them effective. Flyers are really good.
I think flyers are probably... when I'm picking a list, I look first to see if they've got flyers.
Yeah.
If they have got flyers, I'm using 2 units of them.
Mm.
Because they can do so much.
The more we play, the more and the better we're getting at this game, the more that we are concentrating on the flyers a lot. Because the simple fact that they can move so far and they can come out and threaten a unit's flank. You really have to pay attention. When there's flies on the table, just to, like, even units that are far away from the enemy, or which way they're facing it, really, or angle that they at, really matters, because are you offering a very simple two-order flank to a fly unit? And can they come in and get you, and there's no response back?
Like, yeah. And it's even worse if it's one order plus some magic spell.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's good that the army lists are limited, the flyers of an army. But if they're, like, I'd say, if the army list has access to regular flyers, and by that I mean not like birdmen, not birdmen pretending to be flyers, but like or harpies who are just, or like as in real flyers.
Yeah, monsters.
Monsters that are based on the short edge, like monsters should be. That's a very good unit, definitely. I mean,
well, if you're putting 12 attacks into a flank of something,
you're going to
that's going to put what, three back?
Yeah,
two back.
You should win. You should win. Yeah. I mean, it felt to me that this game proper felt like chess a bit. You're redeploying cavalry. You didn't fancy my pikemen.
Well, I knew you'd do enough damage to ruin my cavalry.
Yeah, and it's like in your setup of you like used half of the table to the middle from what you know, one corner to edge to the half, and I was like, right, so I can use my cavalry to come round his flank and offer him then two fronts. Yeah, and I concentrated on moving that with my general and keeping my army together, so not overexposing something. And we're certainly getting tighter with how we play.
But the Lizardmen leadership rules, command rules, make you castle up.
Yeah.
You have to slowly forward. Yeah,
I'm not saying that was a bad tactic.
It's just when you set up,
you can't physically
60 centimeters, 80 centimeters tops.
Yeah, exactly. You can't physically do the things that other armies can do in terms of orders. So, yeah, it's inevitable.
Well, you can. You just have to forget about the divine guidance. Yeah. You send a skink off on his own.
Yeah.
But,
So the result ended was 10-9 to Barry after very, very tight.
It was a really good... You took out a skink and then you ate my birds.
That was a good
manoeuvre.
Well, that was fortunate. Basically, so Barry started the peace trading were in his favour by his one of his unit of flyers against my like artillery and took half the artillery. Then I was like, right, I need to bounce back. I need to deal with those flyers, and yeah, you obligingly put them in front of all my guns.
Well,
yeah, because I think you had to. So I was like, well, the other unit of flyers has been screened by a unit of skinks, and through some just damn lucky.
I think you needed a four to go in.
I got
in
it. That my light cavalry went in and attacked. And I think I actually overcommitted then because I sent my flies in as well. They didn't actually need to be there.
No.
I think I should have held them back.
Yeah.
Again, with War Master, it's knowing when to hold back as much as when to attack.
I mean, it would have been a shame because they could have chased the flyers and the horses couldn't, which is why you put them in, I thought.
It was, but actually, from the result of it, it's like basically I then had you surrounded, and I needed time to bring my whole army to bear on yours. I'll have you surrounded. I was hoping that you would fail command tests.
Well, I
was,
yeah,
because
of
you, them. Yeah, and you because of enemy near because I put stuff.
Well, I did.
Yeah, well, exactly. Like it meant your cavalry, who had gone from their right flank to the left, then redeployed to the back. And so they were everywhere in this game.
They were everywhere. So Paul then, when that combat went its way, he put the flyers smack bang behind everything in my army.
Within 20 of all the important stuff.
Everything. So from that point on, my command rolls just went to pot.
Yeah.
Because in order to deal with stuff, you've got to say, right, what's my most important thing? I need to get this to happen, so I use my divine guidance. You fail the divine guidance, suddenly nothing else moves. And that happened a few turns.
Yeah.
What I should have done is just try to move the soft stuff first on eights. Yeah.
We played the game in five turns, five solid turns, and we had 45 minutes left on our clocks. So, it was a comfortable length and time.
The funniest bit in the game was Paul managed to... I'm beginning to like these Tuskers.
Mm.
I think they have some interesting...
Well, okay, so just...
You wouldn't want to play them against dwarves or whatever.
Not everyone might know what they are. Basically, Tuskers are the Dogs of War monster, like giant.
Yeah.
And basically, it's meant to be some war elephants. You know, like I've used some Pendragon elephants from some Indian range, God knows.
Yeah, they're good.
But basically, and I put two on one base to make it look superly epic. But that's what it represents. It's a cheaper version of a giant. It uses the giant goes wild table when it fails an order, and it doesn't have 8 and 8 like hits like the 8 attacks, 8 hits like the giant does. It has much less. It has 6 and 4.
6 and 4.
But no badly hurt like column. It's like it's full effect until it's dead.
Yeah, and you have better leadership, so you can push it forward.
Yeah. I mean, it's what makes Dogs of War different from Empire.
It's funny. So he charged it forward and put it 20 away from my line, and then I messed my leadership up, and my line was led by skinks, so I'm not charging with the skinks. So the next turn, the Tusker charges at the skinks, takes 2 wounds from the skinks.
Yeah, half its damage.
And then does 8 attacks on the skinks, just 4 wounds. Mm-hmm. And my skink hits
gets another wound in.
And wins the combat.
I pull back.
And then the skinks have a decision to make. There's 2 stands of skinks against this big Tusker. And I wanted them out of the way, to be fair, so I chucked them in after they'd been so brave, and they died.
Yeah, and they missed all their attacks,
and then died.
The Tusker killed them.
I think that was a point where if I was you, I'd have chucked the Tusker in. Because he could have... That was still his first combat.
Yeah.
So he could have been 2 more units.
Well, he wasn't going to with 1 wound left, but could have... I mean, basically... I'd have done. I was looking. I could have chucked him in and taken a stand off some Saurus on average dice.
Yeah.
I'd go in, do some damage, take a stand off, which again is attritioning. But I see, like, because I've chosen some of the more expensive choices in this Dogs of War list, it doesn't have a bigger than normal breakpoint for armies we use.
Yes, that's true.
So maybe I can't attrition like that. I mean,
It was interesting, the Tusker. I think 2 Tuskers versus a Stegodon, interesting.
To me, the Dogs of War army is like, okay, how is it different from an Empire? And then you want to choose those things that make it different so it plays differently. Otherwise, you might as well just be playing Empire if you're not saying anything that isn't like a direct port from the Empire list. Why not play Empire? Yeah, they'll probably just do it better.
Empire 2 better. Yeah. Right, so the result was 10-8 to me. It was a good game. It was fun. Yep. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, it's like I say, it was the exact balance of fun and competitiveness that I'm saying, I'm staking my flag of what a War Master is to me. Because, like I say, this game felt like a bit of chess going on, and yet it was hilarious, like watching things go wrong or my cavalry outperforming again. These knights that I take for these Dogs of War army,
they're super.
Like they just seem to hit.
Well, any of those 110 point knights are generally very good.
Yeah, but they just like. I mean, I got them into a flank of your brigade, and they just rolled. They've rolled far more hits than they should have done.
Yeah.
So it's like, man, these are really good knights.
And that was after they had some Croxigore. They did well. They really did overperform.
Yeah, those Croxigore. Like, I'm glad you only take 1 unit of them because they're
expensive.
Well, yeah, but they are hard.
But they're expensive. But they're expensive. Mm-hmm. They're the same points as the cold ones, I think. Or very near.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, Lizardman Fluff! Oh, right. No, we're here!
So, time for a bit of fluff bombing. But first of all, we get the hilarity, which is always Barry's take on this. So, Barry, Lizardman, what are they?
Oh, man. I know there's a big frog. A very big frog. There's the 5 generations of big frogs. I don't know if they get bigger. So eventually they're like huge frog.
Big frogs.
They start as a tadpole. Full grown frog. So we have a big frog, a space frog.
Space frog, spacey bit.
Yeah, but I don't think they're actually the old ones, are they? They're just the servants of the old ones.
Well, I'll tell you. Frogs. In my mind, there's something else. What do you think they are?
So we don't know what the real old ones are. But they left the space frogs to look after things in their absence.
Yeah.
After they created the world.
And what are the space frogs called?
Space frogs are Slan.
There we go.
We know the Slan.
Yeah.
But the Slan are great magicians.
Yeah.
Even greater than Teclas, maybe.
Yep.
They're pretty good. Mm-hmm. But they can't do anything else. I don't know, can they not speak? There's a reason they can't give orders for some bizarre reason. So they have to have other people give orders. So the old ones made like big hitty stuff to protect them.
Yeah.
And then little chatty stuff to order stuff around and blow pipes.
Yeah.
And then they said, oh, well, hitty stuff, chatty stuff. We need some meaty, big, beastie stuff. So they gave them some dinosaurs. So they've got like stegodons and tyrannosauruses.
Yeah.
And then
and where
we need a setting.
Where do they all live?
Well, dinosaurs come from South America, don't they?
Probably, yeah.
let's give them an Aztecs. All right. Aztec feel to them.
Aztec,
yeah? We've got Egyptians.
Yeah, we've got vampires.
Aztecs. It's a hodgepodge, I'll be honest, but I don't mind it.
As we dissect, like, fluff, Warhammer fluff, you realise it is that, isn't it? Like, every army is a hodgepodge of themes, you know, like, because that's, like, what they are. I think the only truly original stuff is Skaven, maybe Chaos?
I like everything about the Lizardmen and the fluff, apart from the Aztec. I don't know why they had to bring that in. It just seemed a bit...
Yeah, it does seem, I don't know, a bit unconnected to what they are.
Right, they live in a jungle, big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, there's some Aztec buildings in this jungle. Right, so that's all I know about them. I like them. I know people that play them. People love them. People that play them love them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not just in this, in like other game systems. And they've been changed to Seraphim or something now, have they?
Oh, God.
apparently, a Lizardman's not protectable IP. Seraphim.
Yeah.
Whatever a Seraphim is.
It's a bit too generic, isn't it? Lizardman. You know, like...
Half-man, half-lizard.
Yeah, well, just like the word is like...
But I think they could have probably stood their ground and defended Saurus and Skink. Probably.
Yeah, I think so.
Pterodon? Mm-hmm. Probably not Pterodon. No. But anyway, that's it. That's my fluff knowledge. Limited fluff knowledge.
Okay, so...
I don't read fluff.
Okay. So here's the fluff, you know, from me.
The real fluff.
The real fluff. Okay, so let me sit down and let me tell you a story of Warhammer Fantasy. So, basically, Warhammer, like, the planet, or like so to speak, is its original inhabitants, like, was this race called the Old Ones. Now, it's not really clear what the Old Ones were, and whether they created the Slann in their own image or not, nobody knows. Because there's never been, like, certified, like, artwork of, like, this is what a Slann looks like. Anyway.
Well, I know what Slann looks like.
Oh, sorry, an Old One looks like. So, okay, so they're this race of interstellar beings, and so they could... travel like galaxies. This is getting burgers into 40k fluff here. Basically, through these gateways,
Stargates.
Let's call them Stargates because that's what it is. Yeah, like, and there's in the Old World. There's one at the north, which is like the one that's gone out of control, and that's how Chaos gets into the world. Basically, Chaos is from another dimension, and these gates allow you to go from A to B, kind of through the other dimension.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway. So that's who the Old Ones are. They settled on, like, okay, so we're going to have this virgin world, you know, called the Old... That's whatever word it was called in their heads. Yeah, but what the Old World's part of. We need some races to do our bidding. So they're Slann with their servants, their chief servants, and very intelligent toads, basically.
Okay.
And they, like, input and they taught them how to use magic, and they were, like, their, like, chief architects. The Old Ones are very much like builders, you know, craftsmen. So to build stuff, they needed like a workforce. Saurus are like the heavy, like, labourers.
Yeah.
Very small brains, do exactly what they're told, but like very robust. They made Croxigor, which are like bigger versions of Saurus, basically. You know, like, and they're just like even like bigger and dumber. And they made Skinks, which are like a smaller version, which were like much more nimble and quick-witted. And their job was like to write things down and like do complicated stuff, that like, you know, intricate stuff. But they're quite panicky, like as a Skinks. So like, yeah, they're not terribly brave, but they're like, yeah, they're supposed to be backed up by other things. And so that's who the Lizardmen are, is basically the servants of the Old Ones. But the Old Ones left with like the coming of Chaos, God knows why, and they left like some big plan into their original servants of Slann, and essentially that's what the Slann are trying to like put into action, which is the great plan of the Old Ones, and it kind of results in an exodus from the because these pyramids that they build can also double up as spaceships.
Of course,
for some reason.
Yeah. Why don't you just walk through the gate?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why do you need a spaceship?
I don't know. Like, this is where End Times fluff, where it gets all a bit like whatever, because essentially the Lizardmen try to escape in a flying temple. You know, like, everyone... And there is some epicness where it's got, like, the chief Slann, like, holding back, like, you know, like, the Skaven while, like, the temple takes off or something. It's just all a bit... whatever. You know, like, anyway,
So why can they not issue orders to slam?
Oh, okay, so they spend their, like, they're very dormant creatures, so most of the time they're hibernating or contemplating something.
Right.
So they can speak, but they're not give. They're like Treemen, like in Lord of the Rings. They don't do anything very quickly.
Yes.
And most of the time they're just communicating to each other via mind, like telepathy.
Yeah, because they can do that to the skinks, can't they?
Yeah, so basically they're skinks. So slans, say, like 90% of the time are dormant, and they kind of wake up, give some orders, and then go back to sleep again. So most of the time, the Lizardmen race, which is like its de facto leaders after them, are the most intelligent people, which are the skink chieftains and priests, are like acting what they think is on behalf of their slan masters, but they kind of get things wrong a lot of the time, and they often like misinterpret slan words, who are in turn probably misinterpreting some great guidelines from the old ones. There's generations of slan. The older generations are the most powerful, first generation slan, etc. They all died. The only one that's left is a mummified one called Lord Croak.
Are they still dragging him around, are they?
Yeah, I mean, he's so powerful that even though he's dead, he can still do stuff. And in fantasy, he's like got this bonkers spell. In Fantasy 8, he had this bonkers spell for a mummified corpse could just cast. Very ridiculous. Anyway, but there are some second generation slam, and they're like the most powerful probably beings in the old world individually, because they are the best. They basically, I don't say created magic, but they're the original users of magic. So they are by far they are the best magicians in the world, putting even high elves like in their place. And it was them that taught high elves magic in the first place as well.
Okay. Very generous.
Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of thing that like high elves wouldn't say thank you about, because they're like arrogant.
But anyway, so are they still breeding?
Well, the whole race of them is to like, they don't like, they ultimately, the old ones were against chaos, and Lizardmen are therefore against chaos. So they will, basically their default position in life, their MO, is to defend the world, but equally they're not bothered by annihilating races of men in their bid to, like, in their attempt to...
Collateral damage,
they don't care. Like, so they're not really negotiating. So they are classically neutral, they follow their own agenda, but they are fighting evil, but they don't care about good either. That's so classically neutral.
Yeah.
They have, as a fluff and imagery, they have this Aztec port that GW put into them. They're clearly from South America, which is like the continent they're meant to be from. And it kind of works, I suppose. Why not?
Why not?
Yeah, it's...
Don't copyright Aztec.
They came out... They weren't an original fantasy, but they came out in an edition of Warhammer, where they... A box game of Warhammer... Where I can't remember what, say third or fourth edition, where you had Lizardmen versus Bretonians out of the box.
I remember that.
Bretonians never got updated. Lizardmen did. sadly, Bretonians just never got it. And there's nothing more worse than a long-suffering Bretonian player.
There is. Dogs of War.
Dogs of War player, even worse.
Fantasy. Oh my fantasy. God. I used to know one.
And they make nice. Yes, they make nice, and they have a splice of dinosaurs in there as well. So like they get to ride Stegosauruses around and Tyrannosauruses, but called different names. Get to fly pterodactyls around, but called a different name. So it's GW ripping dinosaurs and Aztec themes and frogs, space frogs.
Frogs. So the slan, are they still active? Are they still breathing?
Yeah. There's never more slan. I don't know why there isn't.
Like, same as high elves.
There really should be, but there ain't. There's a dwindling number of slan. And like, they can be spawned, like basically Lizardmen, like very tadpoles. Like,
because frogs make millions of frogs. Yeah, they don't make a frog.
Yeah, so like, there's loads of skinks. There's always more skinks. But it's like, there's very, very rarely new slan. And even if they are, it'll take them centuries to become even like worth negotiating.
Well, even first level.
Yeah, like, yeah. So it's like, who cares? You like it?
Right, okay. Thanks for the fluff knowledge, Paul.
I think, yeah.
I know a little bit more than I did.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
They survive the end times, obviously.
Well, they... So jump forward to the end times, where they get renamed with that... I can't really remember where they get renamed.
Seraphim.
And they're basically mystical creatures that fight chaos. It's just such bullshit.
It's the new thing. I actually saw Bad Dice are now on board with Age of Sigmar.
Well, yeah, because they're like...
Are they in there as well?
They're like paid flunkies as well, aren't they?
We'll discuss that later. Paid flunkies. Right, so the army list.
Yeah.
I'll go first. Skinkies. Little skinkies. So they're infantry. They have 2 normal attacks and 1 ranged attack. 3 hits, no armour. And with their 35 points, and you have to take a minimum of 2.
They're the goblins of the list.
They are the goblins. They have a special rule that allows them to shoot the guns, bows, blowpipes,
whatever they got,
in any direction, but only 15 centimetres.
Yeah,
you have to take them.
Yeah.
I probably misuse them today.
There's an army rule of dense terrain, is that you don't get command penalties for units in dense terrain. Because that's what they like to be.
The Zimmer, yeah.
So yeah,
that's what they were born in the jungle. Yeah, exactly. They'll die in the jungle.
Yeah.
reason I put them on the front today was because I was going to get them to absorb your cannon fire and not die.
The trick is with something like this, which again is a reason why Warmaster's a good game, is these are not the best troops. You would not choose this unit if you didn't have to choose this unit. Yeah, unless you really had to. Unless you want to get your breakpoint up. What do you actually do with them? Like, what is effective to do with them? It could be just hide them. You know, like hide a brigade of them somewhere and never engage. But they do the things that any infantry can do, which is like supporting troops, for example. I mean, like, if I was using Lizardmen, I would have them as second rank to Croxagor. They would back up Croxagor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They do that.
Yeah, exactly. They'd do that very well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next, sir.
Saurus, the other classic infantry. 4 attacks, 3 hits, 5 up armour, 3 units, and so on. Everything's 3. 75 points per unit, and minimum 2, maximum nothing. And they have a special reptilian, which means that reptilian troops can only be issued an order by a character within 20 centimetres. And this is quite a common rule across the army. So you're going to have to... This represents the creatures are being cold-blooded and slow to react. So you're basically... Your core troops. So you've got 4 attacks and a 5 up armour.
Any list would snap your hands off for these.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
4 attacks, 75 points, 5 up armour. They're awesome.
And with 1 nega trait of being only a 120.
I'm not sure that everybody would bite your hands off for that nega trait.
No, I'm just saying.
Because that nega trait turns everybody into tomb keys.
But that reduces their points value, doesn't it? It must do.
Yeah, they'd be expensive without that.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm. So... That 20 centimetre thing is a pain in the arse, though. Especially when you combine it with the other rules they have.
Well, we'll come on to that with characters. But, see, Saurus are a really good unit. And, you tend to take them over other elite infantry, don't
yes.
you? You just want more Saurus.
Yeah, I take 8 units, but I don't own 8. I only own 6, which is a lot, but I take 8. They're brilliant. So the next one's Temple Guard.
You love these. Yeah, don't you?
I don't mind them. Okay, so 4 attack, 4 hits, 5 up armour, 110 points, and they're maximum of 1. And they're slow to react, as usual.
So Temple Guard represent the very old Saurus, because these guys can literally stand still for centuries. And whose job is...
Centuries, yeah?
Yeah.
Do they get fed by the skinks?
I don't know what's feeding them, but like they literally don't move for centuries and alive. Temple Guard are the elite troops of the Lizardmen, like, for protecting the Slann.
Are they the guys that carry the Slann? Harlequin or whatever?
In fantasy, yes, but in War Master, you can have other things carry them. And the model is a bit more epic, isn't it? Like, Slann are a lot bigger... Like the models are a lot more bigger, but
yeah,
it's representative. Yeah. So why don't you take these guys?
Because they're expensive. And it's not that they don't do a lot.
Okay, so for 35 points,
yeah,
you get an extra hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, compared to a regular sword.
That's good.
It is, but it's a lot. It's a lot of points for one hit.
So every unit, every 2 units of Temple Guard, roughly, I can get 3 units of sword.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's a numbers game, this, because you can't have everything you want. If I could have everything I wanted in this list, I'd have more Croxagore to start.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can't. Mm-hmm. You've only got 2,000 points.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why the game's good, by the way.
Yeah. So, Croxagore... Sorry, I mean, next one is Salamanders. These are really weird. Infantry. Okay, so they have 2 attacks and 2 ranged attacks. They've got 3 hits, they've got no armour, and their unit size is +1. Basically, so they're 25 points a base. You can have minimum nothing and 2. So you can have 4 of these in a 2,000-point list.
Yep.
They have salamander rules, which is quite a lot. Basically...
So they're skirmishers.
These are the Lizardman's version of a skirmisher stand, like in a Empire list, which has a more classic one skirmisher stand is. So these salamanders basically get themselves attached to a unit
of skinks.
And they add so their mates, basically that infantry unit's now four stands instead of three, and they don't have to be dyed first. Like they can take it separately in a sense that you don't have to remove them first or last.
They're very strange. They've got a lot of words.
A lot of words.
What they do, realistically, is they increase the skink shooting from three shots to five and give them armour piercing.
Yes.
But the range is still 15 centimetres.
Yeah.
And it almost doubles the price of the skinks.
Yeah, and they only get one shot when they charge against shooting tactics. So if you... Basically, they're an interesting buff to a skink unit, but the fundamental limiting factor of that buff is the range 15. Is that... Yes, it's great to have some more range attacks. So you'd have five range attacks, and that negative one, it means you can actually really hurt something. But range 15 is really bad.
It's defensive fire, basically.
Yeah, it's like you. So to order your troops into range, they've got to come into well within an enemy's initiative charge. So
you try and position them on the flank.
Yeah.
I did early on. I took skinks and I took salamanders. I got four units of these, and I went four skinks with four salamanders. But it was such a point sink, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
and they don't take. They're not any more difficult to kill.
No.
In combat. Mm-hmm. So what? You get an extra two attacks. Mm. You're still dying. You got no armor.
Yeah. So I mean, they're a strange one.
So
salamanders. Okay, salamanders represent nothing that the old ones built. They're just like some. They're like big salamanders or something that lives in the jungle, and the skinks like to prod and it shoots venom at people. That's all that is. They're like in Jurassic Park. Those spitter like little dinosaurs. They're bigger versions of them.
I don't know if I saw. I only saw the first one. You're going to be talking about.
Yeah, they're in the first one.
I don't remember.
You know when the fat guy runs away from the guy who wears glasses that rips off the company, and he runs into the jungle.
Right.
He dies to these kind of spitter dinosaurs. That's them.
Right. Next one. Croxigore infantry. Five attacks, three hits, four up armor, 135 points, maximum of two, and they are slow.
They are epic, though.
They're very good, but. You're almost paying cold on cavalry. You're paying more than a unit of cavalry for these. They do a lot.
The Croc score?
Yeah.
No, they're 5 points less.
No, your cavalry 110.
Oh, my cavalry 110, yeah.
And they're still infantry?
Yeah.
So when they charged your two units of cavalry, was it?
Yeah.
You only got one stand in?
Because of the size of the stand, yeah.
So they have to do a lot on that. But I'm not going to argue. I take one. They've definitely got a use.
Yeah.
They definitely put it out, but they're
expensive. The fact that they're infantry, not monsters, means that they can support and be supported in that sense. So if they were monsters, they'd be more a unit that acts on its own. But if with Croxigore, they can be the hard centre to a Saurus brigade, for example.
Yeah, and if you did put them on the front and managed to get one of the spells off, give them three up armour, they'd be...
They're no more survivable than Saurus, for taking charges. Still the same amount of hits. Oh, no, they have
four
a point of armour. Sorry, they have a point of armour, yeah. I mean, I find them... I think they're really good, but you pay the points for a Croxigore unit, definitely.
Yeah. Next one, my favourite.
Cold One Riders, the only cavalry unit our list. With four attacks, three hits, and a 4+ armour. For 140 points, you get that. And they have the same minimum nothing, maximum two. And they have the same special rule of being cold-blooded. The only thing that doesn't is the skinks.
Yeah, yeah. So the cold-blooded is a major hindrance on these guys.
It is, but they are cavalry that has a 4+ armour, which is like heavy cavalry should do. And they have four attacks instead of three.
So even when you charge them with your knights, it's a 50-50.
They do the same back, yeah. It's, I mean, they're expensive what you pay for, but they are some of the best cavalry in the game. I think in terms of, because obviously what cavalry do, they're well costed, aren't they? I mean, they're min maximum of two. Their max of two means that you want to take the maximum you can, which is four. I mean, if you could take more cavalry, would you?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably not, because the points would really eat into your...
They'd start eating you, but they're well thought out, well designed. The minimum maximum, the maximums on Sword Lizardman Army are really harsh, actually. Most of them is one or two. So there's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stuff's rare, apparently. apart from Skinks and Saurus.
Well, that's the thing. It's like they can't do an all cavalry list because they just can't. Yeah, they can't have many units of them.
No, but
they are solid. Like
these are solid.
No, like three units of Cold One Knights formed up in a line can take charges easily, and it's just like well. It's,
well, you didn't want to charge it.
Well, that's the thing. It's like because like, when you work the maths, it's like you roll more dice than me. even if I charge you, it's like averagely I don't win. Yeah, that's strong.
I think they're even scarier in the Dark Elf list.
Yes.
Although they've been toned down, you only get the plus one attack on the first turn, but you're on leadership 10.
They don't have that rule here in this army. But yeah, so they're an interesting unit because they're basically Cold Ones are again another creature that is native to the jungle. You know, it looks like a raptor, basically a dinosaur, and they are the same. So basically, a Lizardman rides it, a Saurus, or a Dark Elf can ride them in their own list as well. And then so it's interesting because they're like the same thing. Yeah, a mount, something on this mount,
yeah.
And then has different rules because of the guy on top.
Yeah, because of the guy on top.
Mm-hmm.
So who did Cold One?
You did that.
Oh, so there you go. Next one.
So Pterodons, monster.
Is it a monster?
Yeah. So Pterodons are a monster. They have two attacks. They have one shooting attack at range 15, three hits and a 6-up armor, unit size 3, 85 points, and minimum nothing, maximum 1. So you can take 2 units of these, and you probably do.
Well, I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they've got the special rule
shooting all rounds. They're very good. They're very good flyers. Very good. Because they're monsters, so they're mounted short bases, short edge, and with 2 attacks each means monster charging in the open, it's 4. So they put 12 into a narrow frontage.
Yeah, I like them a lot. Yeah. I think Pterodons, along with Eagles, are probably the best.
Yeah, and that extra that shooting attack, like because often the things that can attack them are quite light armoured themselves. You know, that shooting attack sometimes can be really telling. Like they can do a bit of damage before flying away.
Mm-hmm. Nope, we've talked about flyers a lot. Mm-hmm. Stegodon, monster. This is the opposite of the Pterodons. So it's 10 attacks,
yep.
3 shooting attacks at 15 centimetres, 10 hits, 4 up armour, 250 points, 1 is the max.
Causes fear.
Causes terror. Why wouldn't it?
Yep.
It's on a big old base.
It's 3 bases put together. So it's a 60mm depth base.
So when you charge infantry, you're engaging the whole front, basically.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you charge the middle one.
It's made as like a column of infantry, you know, like that is the size of a Stegodon's base.
Yeah, it's a big old thing.
Facing the short edge.
When I first started out, I used to run a Stegodon. He's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
If he gets to the right matchup,
he can be wounded when he takes 6 to 9 hits. That really reduces his effectiveness down to 5 attacks and 2 ranged and 5 hits. So, yeah, he has the power by himself to wipe out units and. Yeah, and if you with a 4-up armor save and terror, you can tank a lot of stuff. Yeah,
like, yeah, you can certainly, and you have to. I think according to this list, I'm not sure if it's changed now. It says you have to do 6 hits.
Yeah, that's right, 6 to 9 hits to badly hurt it. I mean,
that's a lot of hits.
All that comes at a points cost of 250. Yeah,
it's a lot of points.
Yeah, it's a lot of points. I mean, when your rock stars are Saurus at 75 and Cold One Riders at 140. 250 is for a charging unit of Croxigors. Sorry, a charging unit of Cold One Riders does more attacks than this monster.
Yeah, I'll take more back, but it's half the price almost. Yeah. Well, 140. So, it's a bit of a trap. The Stegodon. I mean, if you want to use them, feel free. They'll do work.
But they will
in some games. Yeah, in some games they'll get hit by. Troll Slayers.
That
doesn't end too well for the Stegodon.
So if you are taking them, your breakpoint's probably going to be less than 10. And when the opponent catches those skinks, it will really tell. Because you'll lose things cheaply, and your army can be broken quite quickly.
Yeah, and then the Stegodon will still die to things like cannons.
Because you
won't kill it, but you'll drive it back to 20.
Yeah, and you just need to do that amount of to badly wound it, and then it's a lot less intimidating.
Okay, so we have a weird setup for. Oh, it's me. It's you.
It's me. That's it. So Slam Mage Palaquin is the general. He's got 2 attacks, and he for a command value, he has 0. Now, I don't know a lot about War Master, but is a Command Zero general a good thing, Barry?
He can't blunder. your turn doesn't end when your general fails an order.
He's 95 points and he's got that minimum one cost. And he's got some unique rules, basically, to deal... Why can he not give orders? He operates acts through other characters. So what, instead of... So your general can increase your skinks or decrease your skinks command rolls by minus one if they're within 20 centimetres on by using this rule called Divine Guidance, which if you fail an order with the skinks and they can't blunder...
Well, they can't blunder using Divine Guidance. They can blunder afterwards.
Yeah, otherwise. You lose that using Divine Guidance for that turn. So he artificially increases the skinks commands, you know, like skink heroes' orders. Oh, skin carry. He'd also increase the shamans if you wanted to order them. He's also a wizard as well, and he can re-roll. Because he's such a good wizard, he can re-roll a failed casting attempt on anything but a one.
And he can do the crazy Arknode shenanigans.
Yes, so he can use a skink shaman as the folk, as the original point for his spell. So he pushes his spell's ranges really out as well. He's a unique general in War Master.
Yeah, he makes you play a certain way, but he also has some unique abilities. The re-rolling as the high elves do, because he gets to re-roll unless he rolls a one, and being able to arcnode, in effect, so he can cast spells all over the place.
Yeah, it's an interesting character, because with that buff, like that pseudo buff to other characters, it'd be fantastic if you weren't limited by most of your army only being ordered in 20.
It does feel like playing Tomb Kings.
In a way. They've got... Lizardmen have these command problems like Tomb Kings.
But your wizards are allowed to get out of position.
Yes, so they're not...
Because they're not important.
They're not giving orders.
So that's a bonus. As opposed to Tomb Kings, where they all get sucked into that one combat to try and get
them. Because they only have two types of characters.
They want to raise dead so bad. So then we have Saurus Hero. He's a unique type of hero as well. So he has two attacks, command six. 45 points, you're allowed one. If you're going to take one, he's probably going to be on the mount.
This is an example of a hero you build for fighting and not for orders, isn't it, really? Because there's two mounts. There's a Stegodon and a Carnosaur. Well, you could put him, you know...
You can't put him on a Stegodon.
Only a Slanmage should ride that. I don't know why you would do it. But, like, the Carnosaur... the Carnosaur is worth mounting a Saurus Hero on, because then he adds another two attacks. Means the Slan... So they have four, give him a sword.
Five attacks.
With Terror. You can move around not as quick as a 100 centimetres, but it's still moving around 60.
But he's not doing orders. So it doesn't matter where he is.
No, it doesn't matter where he is. I mean, that command value of 6 is... It's just bad.
You're not taking into command stuff. And then we've got the skinks, the heroes. No attacks, obviously. Because they're scaredy cats. Command 8. So there's normal heroes. Command 8, 70 points, maximum of 3.
So a lot of heroes you can take. You can take six heroes.
But I take three heroes.
You could take.
But I find I lose my divine guidance and have run out of stuff to do before I run out of heroes to do it with. Because we're so compact.
So these are the guys that give orders in your army. So you've got a bunch of command 8 characters and pseudo 9 until they get it wrong.
Which is good. I mean, you take a paymaster, you take an item to make him 9 for one turn.
And you've got it every turn.
For all three of them. So there's definitely some benefits to it too. It's not like all negative. And we got Yorko.
A skink shaman who's a wizard, adds no combat dice. He's command 6, which is even worse than an empire wizard. He's 30 points, though you can't complain at his price. And you get one of them, so you can get two of them.
You take two.
You have to take a slan. He needs to work using skink shamans, so you're going to take two shamans.
They're so cheap. Why would you?
Why not? Yeah, 30 points. What's that for a character?
And it's not like they've got bad spells. They've got good spells. So we've got two mounts. Stegodon, but that's for the big boy.
Again, I don't know why you would do...
Because you get five attacks. I don't know.
I just don't really know why you would do that, but you can do.
Because you give five attacks to something you never want in combat.
Yeah.
So, happy days. And a Carnosaur plus two attacks.
Very nicely costed at 65 points.
I like the Carnosaur. I don't use it. Spell list. Spells are fantastic.
So, what have we got?
Gaze of Sotek. Range 30, 5 up to cast. It's the normal 3 shooting attacks, no armour.
Mazamundi's Revenge, 4 up to cast, range 60. what it means that the combat, the unit will not advance, not charge, and if engaged in combat, will not pursue or advance. Okay. For 4+ the cast.
It's hobbled with bowel problems, melting bowels. Yeah. Range 60, so that's like the Tomb King spell.
Yeah.
Very good. My favourite spell, Wings in the Jungle. Woo! Which is the one I normally Ring of Magic in on something.
Yeah.
This is... it allows you to do a charge. I think it actually specifies a charge, doesn't it? Or maybe it says... receive an order.
Wizard has to join the unit, he casts it on himself, and he allows him and the unit to have an order.
Okay, which is good. The bad side is the wizard stays with the unit that charges and generally dies.
It's not a remote voice of command empire spell, or range 30. It's a join the unit and go with it spell. So if you want those flyers to get that flank charge, that character's pinned in that unit for the next turn.
That dies. So basically it's...
They're bullets. Yeah. Makes the shaman bullets.
But it's like a 60-point bullet. Ring of Magic, yeah. Shaman, 60 points, probably worth it. Yeah. And another fantastic spell.
Shield of the Old Ones. Fire up to cast in range 30. Gives you a +1 armor buff for the following all of combat phase. So good things to order that casters on are Cauldron Knights.
Yes.
Because it will make them a 3+ armor save. And then they are rock stars.
With 5 attacks on the charge, 3+ armor. Yowzers.
Yeah, I mean... That's a very, I mean, okay, so what we have is...
All Croxigors.
Yeah, what we have is an attacky spell, a defensive spell, a movement spell, and a buffy, and a augment spell. So, basically, attack, hex, move, augment. Brilliant selection of spells.
It's very good.
I mean, there's a place for all of those, I mean, all of those spells, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah. In the course of a game, you could quite easily cast each of them.
Yeah, exactly.
And you've got 3 attempts to cast, even though you've only got 2 wizards, because your big frog can do it as well.
Yeah, I mean, and a 4+ to cast one is very nice, and especially when you factor in the almost every time re-rolls of the Mage Priest
big
to
frog,
cast
yeah.
one. Magic's really strong for Lismen, definitely.
That's why they're only about 2 wizards.
Yeah. And
the big boy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because too much of this would imbalance the list.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I like it. I think it's that's definitely one of its strengths.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think it's a spell. It's probably the only spell category I can think of that has every spell you would realistically cast.
Actually. Yeah, I mean, even the shooting attack gives armor saves.
Sometimes. Say you've gotten some range attacks with some skinks and they've done 2 hits and you want 3, that's a way of getting a 3rd.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. I have used it in the past to try and snipe off 1 cannon.
Yeah.
Because if you get 2 out of the 3 hits, then that's a cannon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not worth nothing.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So the list is interesting. Mm-hmm. Strengths and weaknesses. Now, I always do the little prep on this, so it's my strengths and weaknesses. I'm sure Paul will throw some other stuff in, but if it's not good enough, then blame me.
Mm-hmm.
I've played quite a few games with Lismen, maybe 8 or 10.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm getting better. I'm still not an expert at them by any stretch. Mm-hmm. Let me say now that Lismen are not a new player army.
No, they're not. No, they're an experienced player's army only, really, because you'll get some bad losses early on.
Right, so strengths, wizards. We've said that already.
Yep.
Wizards and spells, they're fantastic.
Yep, very good. You've got a unit of flyers, so always a strength, and these are proper flyers, not things pretending to be flyers.
Yeah.
Very good.
They're very good. We have, it's pseudo-command characters, we have 3 of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or as many as you want to take, but realistically you'll take 3.
And while you're doing that, you don't get blunders, so that means you can't have a blunder spoiling your day.
Yeah, well, once your Divine Garnet is gone, you don't get blunders. But in that game, I had no blunders.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't happen that often. I have had it happen, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
We got hitty stuff. Very hitty infantry, very hitty cavalry.
Yeah.
Very hitty.
Yeah. They don't have... I mean, they have some decent armour in the army, but only one unit has 4 hits, and that's the Temple Guard, which
you
don't like. So that's their first weakness, is that they are a bit glass cannon. They can take damage. Yeah,
can take damage.
They'll give a lot. Yeah, they'll give a lot out, but they only have mostly 3 hits in units.
Yeah, I would agree. They only mostly have 3 hits per unit. I think the biggest weakness is the lack of range in artillery.
Yeah, so there's no range of... So no artillery, definitely, and the range of 15 is
it's just defensive fire.
It means turns it in only... You have to get so close to matter, to shoot enough of them that the skinks just... That's the trick. That's the trap of skinks.
Yeah.
Is trying to do that with
trying them. Trying to do anything with them to the trap
of
skinks.
Well, just trying to like bring them forward to like shoot their blowpipes is a bad idea. Just save it when you get charged.
Okay. Leadership issues, that's down to the fact that you're slow to respond, slow to...
being cold-blooded.
Cold-blooded, right.
So, reptilian, it's called here.
So the fact that you have to pull everything within 20 centimetres, if you want to use Divine Guidance, obviously if you don't want to use Divine Guidance, then just run a skink off with the cold ones and do it that way. Like, that would just be like a normal hero. You're still an 8.
Yeah. So. Definitely. Okay, so we're going into this next point of, like, why play Lisman and Ian comments. They definitely seem, across the table, a very strong army. Yeah, because you look at them, and you can only focus on the point points. It's like, oh, he's got 2 units of good flyers, he's got 4 rock hard cavalry. This is a good army, and he's got good spells. That's what he is in playing against it. It's like that's
and his infantry's solid.
Yeah,
there's no weak infantry.
Yeah, exactly.
Skinks are obviously weak, but they're meant to be.
Yeah,
so you don't have to expose
you're
them.
Like, you're trying to catch the skinks and get breakpoints cheaply for probably no loss, while at the same time dealing with this very strong army when on its day.
Yeah, so I would play these because they've got good flyers and they've got rock star, if you say, good infantry, good cavalry, and very good magic.
Yep. Eureka, isn't it? Make Lisman models.
Yeah, they do the whole range.
They do the whole range, and that's based in Australia. So if you were to do it, you need to find a supplier in the UK.
There is one. Or, Fighting 15.
Well, say, like, and if they have the entire range, do
yeah,
it, I'm not
they
sure.
Do.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, there you go. Perfect. Then I mean,
Fighting 15.
I've played against one of Nav's friends, and he had an entire Lisman Pendragon army. Yeah, like built and based, and it does look, even that without paint on, it looks a really good army. So you can get hold of the models, basically.
If I was starting again, I would go that way.
Yeah.
And save myself a fortune. I may actually just give up and buy a few units from them at Salute and just finish my army off with those.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
they'll look good enough.
They'll look good, they'll look similar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's, honestly, it's a, so there's, I think, with. It's their most established, known, like, Warmaster port range. Eureka, like, everyone knows that they do a very good Lisman range.
Yeah.
And it's the entire range in there. Like, that. Yeah. You know, when you look through their website for other stuff, they do bits and pieces of everything else. Like, or bits and pieces. But that's their, like, clearly they're, like, that we've given you a Lisman army here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, I'd play them because I want to be competitive and not play something that everybody else is going to play. Because not everybody's going to want to play Lizardmen, because they are quite a brain ache.
Yeah.
But they're good, and they're competitive.
Yeah.
So,
So what are we saying? Tier...
Well, I would say with a new player 2.
Yeah.
And
with an experienced player tier 1.
They could be tier 1 easily.
Ooh, right. Okay.
Easily. Yeah. If you know how to defend, and you know how to use the Divine Guidance properly.
I'll go with that. So, we'll say...
What are they missing? Just artillery?
So, tier 1, but... Well, caveat 2 going to 1. Tier.
In the hands of an experienced player, these are tier 1 easily. Yeah. Easily.
Mm-hmm. Alright, so we have a new tier 1 army.
Hooray.
Yeah.
I do expect there to be quite a few tier 1 armies.
Yeah, as we go along.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But one thing I would say is a tier 3 army is the kind of army that in a good... I mentioned that, I was going a bit early. But a tier 3 army will get good results with a good player.
Yes. Yeah.
But it won't win very often at all. No. You know, it won't win tournaments at all very often. You have to be very, like playing vampires in Blood Bowl. It's theoretically possible you've won the tournament, but it's not likely.
No, you'd have to. You're gonna have to have some luck.
But you can mid-table.
Yeah.
With a good player.
Yeah.
And experience with the team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So tier 3 is not hopeless. It's just like because I was giving. I got a little bit of jip for ogres as tier 3, but I'm standing by it. Right. So emails and gifts. Right. We've had a couple of emails about ogres, so I've taken that on board, guys. There's a guy's name I can't pronounce on the Facebook, Warmaster Facebook page, mm-hmm. like a Russian name, and Jim's been contacting me about some ogre stuff.
Yep.
So I will take on board what you've both said, and I will play Jim with a slightly different ogre list, and I'll try and get slightly better results.
Fair enough. Speaking of ogres...
Ogres.
I got a... This is a bit random.
Well, it's not random, it's fantastic.
I got a message when I was at work the other day, on, and it was basically saying, hello, this is me. Are you interested in a unit of ogres? I'm a fan of the podcast. And I was like, okay, how much are you asking? And they're like, no, it's for free. And yeah, so I can't really pronounce her name because I would not do it justice. But yeah, quite random, a bit of fan mail.
That's fantastic.
Basically. So yeah.
Well then, Paul, you are the talent.
But it was yeah. And so shout out to that. You're obviously listening. Yeah, thank you very much. If you want to say, yeah, that's really cool.
That's good.
Because I'm going to use them in I'm going to use them in Dogs of War. Because at the moment I'm using a Pendraken unit, which is good, but not. I'd want to use original GW ogres. So that is awesome that I'm going to be sent a unit of them.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Okay, so we'll just briefly mention the two future events. We've got the Tri-Wiz Doubles and the Bunker Warmaster 2.
Yep.
And we'll mention our contact details, Facebook page. Or the warmaster.podcast@googlemail.com is our web address.
Yes,
and we do look at those and we do answer.
We do.
And then that's it. So what's happening now? We've got a couple of weeks off, Paul.
Yes, so an enforced break due to a short holiday for me, and then a deployment with the army. So we will come back to you at the latest mid-April, recharged and refreshed. And I say apologies for our listeners, because we're on a bit of a momentum here going, and we've got a good amount,
our numbers are listening.
Yeah, it's great.
It's like, thanks to everybody who listens. I honestly can hand on heart say I expected nobody to listen.
Exactly.
But the fact that anybody's listening is a bonus.
And
hopefully we can make it like fun and entertaining, and have some comment and have some opinion and maybe be wrong, but at least my opinion when I'm saying it, I believe it. Whether it's right or wrong.
Exactly. I mean, and I've had some friends say it's nice. What's really nice recently is I've had friends tell me, listen to your podcast and I've liked it, and that's nice. But to get these people, like to get a random message out of nowhere saying I like your podcast, and like I asked for feedback and I sent it to you, Barry.
I was like
that's awesome. And it's just like, oh wow.
Well, I took that feedback on board, and that's why I didn't do the Skype episode.
Yeah.
Because if we're having issues with, I think it may be we talk over each other and talk quickly, but that's one thing. But we're not dealing with.
And you say like a good thing was our clear enthusiasm, which is nice, because as I've got to say actually, and I'll mention it then, like a podcast I listen to for War Machine called Chain Attack. Sometimes they are so negative that it's just like, oh my god, like you seriously, it's like, I mean,
it's like penance,
it's like and there's such a chore like doing this, and it's like, and it's nice that that's not for us, and we've got plenty more episodes to like go over, plenty more games to play, and plenty more ideas to spark, because obviously at some point when we'll come full circle and we'll be like, right, we ought to redo that podcast,
do it properly
we didn't do it very well last time.
Okay. Right then, so we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Have a nice Easter.
Yeah, have a great time, whatever you're doing.
Okay, so that was episode 14 of the Warmaster Podcast with Barry and Paul.
See you later.
Bye.